Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin. Good evening, everyone, and I'm Jason Ophir, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I am joined with psychic medium Sherry. Hello, Sherry.
Hey, I was going to say good morning, Jason, but it's not morning, it's good evening. How do you like the time change?
I don't really pay much attention to it, but I don't know. I guess I'm indifferent.
I like the time change because I like at night being lighter. I'd rather have the daylight at the evening time than it would be in the morning. I'm not a morning person, I'll tell you that. I'm not an early morning riser, but I do like the evening time when you have 9:30, 10 o'clock. You still have daylight. It's nice.
Yeah. With the way things are going with coronavirus, maybe we won't even acknowledge the sunshine outside because we'll all be hiding indoors because it's going to seriously reduce the population. Or at least that's how people are behaving, going crazy and clearing out stores.
Seems to be.
Good.
Oh, my gosh. I know. What do you think is going on as far as... it's like election year, and it's interesting how the coronavirus is coming through with election year. Is there any coincidence on that?
I don't know. I'm kind of a conspiracy person, so it wouldn't surprise me. I think that the media and everybody else is turning this into some global population-reducing virus, and I don't see that really happening. I'll tell you what I do see is a lot more flu coming up lately, a lot of influenza A. The flu season started with it was like influenza Bs, and now I'm seeing actually quite a lot of influenza A, and I've had to deal with some suspected cases of coronavirus, and I did do a little bit of research on it, and yeah, it's probably a little bit more fatal, well, maybe fourfold than the flu, but I don't believe it's anything to panic over. People just tend to jump on the panic train with everything, but this will pass like every other thing that's passed, and I don't think we should get our panties in a bunch just yet.
Not yet. Yeah, and I just, you got to be careful. There's a lot of people that are sick, and you don't even know when you're passing it through to somebody else. And I just shared an article. That's another thing. I just finally got locked out of my Facebook. So anyway, my daughter just shared this in the Oregonian. They just released this. It says that it's 300 to 500 Oregonians who were unknowingly carrying the coronavirus. A state health official epidemiologist, Dean Schlesinger, and it's the Vance remote town, not only in Portland, but also on the outskirts of Portland. And there is just, it's getting really bad. And my daughter also said that there is a little boy in the Portland area that just got diagnosed with positive with coronavirus. So, tracing back and everything, that's going to be maybe difficult depending on how their lifestyle is.
Well, it's going to get worse before it gets better, but I don't think it's anything anybody needs to get panicky over, and, you know.
Yeah.
But who knows? What do I know?
I know. And the main thing is, you just protect yourself and, you know, basic hand washing and cleaning, you know, cleaning. Don't get obsessive about, but just be aware and clean, you know.
Yep.
Well,
good hygiene.
Guest, we're gonna have Wayne for a couple hours tonight, but he's not feeling up to par, and I really appreciate him just hanging out and being able to stay with us for an hour tonight. But Wayne William Snellgrove, we're gonna talk about Indigenous spirituality, and hopefully he'll feel better. Why don't you bring him on, and he can just a little bit introduce himself, and we'll just go from there.
All righty.
Hello there.
Hey.
How are you?
Hello,
everyone?
Hello.
How is everyone?
Doing pretty all right.
Good. Good to be
How
back.
Are you?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good to be back. Thank you. Yes, I'm very honored. So.
How are you feeling? Are you feeling better with anything? Are you taking anything for what you got?
Well, I got a little headache, a little something, and just kind of laid down, and it was one of those things where I woke up and it was a little bit dark out, and I didn't know what time it was, and I panicked a little bit, and I texted you, and so we're good. So took about a 3-hour nap today. So
good for you. Good for you.
That's
what you need. Yeah. You've been working hard. I know that what your job entails, you know, is a lot of stress and can be very challenging at times, but yeah, it's a big responsibility mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, and it can be quite challenging. So I can understand that, you know, as probably being the end of the week and all that buildup, and it's just time to take care of Wayne today.
Yeah. I was at a recovery conference all weekend and kind of got back and, you know, it's kind of mingling with everybody and talking, you know, talking good stuff and talking recovery and talking spirituality and talking, especially Native American spirituality. And, no, it was good though. It was good. You know, it's a little bit of like a emotional hangover type thing. So,
good.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Wow. Jason is the he actually is the founder, the partner here is actually the founder of Paranormal Horizons, and I believe last time we had Maria, she fills in for me when I'm on tour, so tonight Jason's on, and it's going to be great, so yeah, what do you think of this, what's your idea of this, you know, pandemic that's going around, what's your idea on this?
I don't know. Good question. I mean, it's hard to say. I don't want to say this is it, but, you know, we have to be very mindful of these things and just be careful. You know, just like you said before, you know, we have to be mindful of hands and get just basic sanitary techniques. And that's it. But as far as spiritual goes, I really don't know. I thought about it. I prayed about it a little bit. I mean, I really haven't asked. It's just one of those things that you know, it's going to come and go. And, you know, we'll see. I don't think it's going to be any worldwide, you know, pandemic. I mean, unfortunately, I do think people will move on, but nothing as far as cataclysmic apocalyptic type thing. So.
We will go on. Humanity will persevere through this, like it always has. With
absolutely,
smallpox.
Yeah.
Bubonic plague, we will continue.
So just kind of take it for take it for what it is, and you know, keep moving, you know, just keep our feet focused on staying in prayer. That's you know, I think the big thing. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just stay in prayer. That's it. You know. Other than that, we're in the prayer business. We're not in the results business. You know. That's what I always say. You know. And just putting those good things out there. That's what we're supposed to do. You know, there's a lot of hype, a lot of things, a lot of hysteria surrounding this, and I think we just have to, stay in prayer. You know, maybe this is something for us to, pray together about. Maybe this is something from Spirit to say, hey, look, I'm going to send you something that you guys are going to have to end up praying together for. You know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So maybe Sherry kind of gave you a little bit of an intro, but how about letting our listeners know, remind them of who you are, what you do, and then we'll just get into it.
Okay. All right. My name is Wayne Williams Stonegroove, born April 9th, 1971, Fish and Lake First Nation. And the day I was born, the Canadian government came and they stole me, basically right from the arms of my mother, right there at the hospital. And from there, I was shipped off to orphanages and in foster care. And then a little later on, 4 or 5 years later, actually 2 or 3 years later, I was adopted out by a white American family and then brought here to the States. And the upside is I reunited with my biological mom back in 2003. And I've been going back pretty steady ever since. So there's been a beautiful healing there. And to be able to reunite with my heritage and my culture. A little bit before that, back in early 90s, I started walking what we Indigenous called the Red Road, and that is our spiritual path. That's the path that we walk to connect with spirit, ceremonies around it. I've been walking this spiritual path for about 30 years. I've been really honored to go around the world, travel, do beautiful things with beautiful people, ceremony wise, and get ready to start doing a little traveling here in the future. So to Europe, so.
Ooh.
In the fall.
Well, hopefully that coronavirus will be worked its course. I know personally people have changed their international travel plans for the time being.
I heard that. I guess Italy's shut down.
Pretty much. I know somebody that was going to go to Italy.
Yeah. But let's just stay the course and let's continue to pray and let's continue. Moreover, let's pray together. I think that's the most important lesson. Right.
I remember when the last time you were on talking about how the government abducted you. I still can't believe that. Like, how does it happen in the modern world? What was that? It's nice 71 or something like that.
Yeah.
It still blows my mind.
Yeah, it's part of that manifest destiny that we can take whatever we want, and if you get in the way, well, then we'll kill you or destroy you. So we will take your children. There's no quicker way to kill a culture than to take its children. So, every day that I'm above ground, every day that I go to ceremony, every day that I stay in prayer, I win. So I'm on a little bit of a winning streak here, so last 30 years. So it's good. It's good.
Time to hit a casino. You're on a winning streak.
So what? I got a question.
Oh, yeah.
I got a question, Wayne. Maybe you can explain this in a little bit more so that people can understand. So when you're following the Red Road, which is the indigenous spirituality, what is the difference, and I'm going to ask you, what is the difference in our creator or great spirit or father, father sky, or whatever you call that? What is actually, is there a difference, or is it the same?
Well, you know, that's a great question, and one of those things that I like to point out, when we say great spirit, when we say creator, it is considered both masculine and feminine. There's Mother Earth. Everything has the medicine wheel says that everything has to have balance. So that, like, there's male, female, dark, light, you know, fire, water. Everything has to have an equal and opposite power. And so when we say great spirit, when we say great mystery, then we adopt that. We become that. You know, that's a little different.
Saying God is when you say great spirit, is it saying are you praying to God?
I think that's an individual question. You know, up to the individual. You know, I don't want to dictate terms to anyone to what God there is. I'm just pointing out that there's a great spirit that made everything, that made the oceans, that made the sky, the universe, the stars. And I also like to point out that along with all those things, the universe, the stars, the oceans, and everything, Creator made you. So I think that's pretty cool.
Good.
What happens
wow.
to
yeah.
Not
What's
everybody
that?
Is spiritual. A lot of people aren't spiritual mm-hmm. at all. They don't think about God or the Creator or Gaia or anything like that. They go through their lives living with all this technology. I'm curious as to what your opinion is with, like, the afterlife. When they pass, I mean, do they not, you know, a lot of people like to associate death with heaven or hell, or, like, do they have to come back? Is there reincarnation? Like, what happens to those type of people from your knowledge?
In my humble opinion, and I am, let me just state this. When we move on, it's simply a change of worlds, and what you believe here doesn't change that. We just move on to the next world, whatever that is. We don't really think in terms of heaven or hell. I can't really say. I'm not a scholar. But I do know that when people cross over, that they cross over, and there is many, many other worlds out there. What was your second half of your question?
Well, pretty much just that. I was just wondering what happens to those type of people. I guess I would be included in that circle of, I'm just skeptical. I don't know what the universe, I am, why I'm here, and all that. I'm exposed to all sorts of, religious ideas, but it all gets very confusing when everybody says, well, I'm the one, or I'm the one, you know. It's like, what do you, how do you know what to believe?
Well, I would steal your word skeptical, because I am skeptical of those who know, because the fact is we don't really know. you know, Christians, Catholics, you know, they like to believe in heaven and hell, and I just don't believe that, you know. I just a couple of those guys, you know, said if I don't believe in so-and-so and Jesus, and I'm going to hell, and I said, well, all right. You know, I mean, I think he was a great teacher, but, you know, whether he's whatever they say he is, I don't know. But I do know this. I know everything has to have balance. This world, the next world, that just creates that balance. It just can't be. Consciousness just can't be this world. Consciousness is something that cannot die. Our physical bodies can die, but our consciousness, our awareness, moves on.
Well, for me personally, I have to agree. I mean, I know that there's something more out there. I do believe, I don't know, is it agnostic to believe in a higher power? But I find the world very confusing when you have, you know, kids with cancer and serial killers and victims and all these terrible things going on. But I guess it comes down to what you're saying with balance. I mean, there are a lot of great things, and unfortunately, the media tends to transmit all the bad things, so we don't hear all the good things in the world. But I guess it's balance, good and bad.
Let's take a look at the media right here. The media is so much narrative. It has less to do with the truth and more about what they want you to hear. So, that being said, I don't have a TV. I really don't listen to any kind of media broadcast, anything like that, because it's a narrative that they want to transmit some sort of idea, some sort of I don't want to say control, but some sort of manipulation there. So I take everything to spirit. That's the first thing I do. When this virus first came out, I said, "Hey, what's going on with this?" And they kind of came back saying it's pretty serious. But not nearly as serious if you turn on the nightly news and they talk about body counts, they talk about this and everything. It's just, you know, I would much rather believe spirit. Spirit has never let me down as far as the answers coming back, you know, and simply sitting with spirit, to me, it's sitting down with and tapping into connecting with, honoring, loving, respecting, that great universal truth, you know, as some New Agers like to put it, you know, and we can tap into that and just listen and be aware. And I have more awareness now, because of the spiritual practices that I do, than I ever would have watching the 6 o'clock news.
The news is a bunch of garbage. So I imagine that spirituality, I mean, it's very individualized. It's like, well, if you're a Christian and you go with that, that I would imagine drives you to become more spiritual in that way.
One would hope.
Well, I hope one of the religions isn't the true one and everybody else goes to hell, but who knows?
No, that's not it either. That's not the truth either. I asked spirit about that, and that's not true. Simply not true. Now, how could one little religion be true and all the others not? It's just that can't be the answer either. That simply cannot be the answer. That's that's a brilliant way to manipulate the masses, trying to say, hey, we have the Son of God on our side. But it's just kind of like, you know, when you really ask, when you really know, you just know there's more out there. And at that point, we don't need to judge. We don't need to mock. We don't need to ridicule. We just move on. And, you know, let the whirling dervishes whirl kind of thing, you know. I don't have to have an opinion about that. You know, I don't have to tell them that they're right. I don't have to tell them that they're wrong. The right thing for me to do is continue to listen to Spirit, continue to get those messages, continue to stay in prayer, continue to pray for everybody, you know, including those religions that don't include me, and especially those religions that don't want to include me, you know.
What about you, Sherry? Are you listening to Spirit?
I have my moments. If I get out of my ego, and when I'm, you know, when I'm in the right frame of mind, yes, I do. I absolutely do. But I have to be in the right frame of mind and literally taking that time off. So, yeah, that's very, very important that I do listen to them, and you know, yeah. I do. What I do, I do. I'm human too, but yeah.
Well, I'm the polar opposite. I'm addicted to technology, and I might be hopelessly lost.
I don't know. But you know, let me say this. You know, let me talk about listening, because that's what my father was a holy man for my tribe for a lot of years. We had this particular conversation before he passed. And he was talking about the lost ceremony of listening. We don't listen enough. In fact, listening is the first form of communication, not the last. And we as a culture, society, humanity, whatever, we have forgotten the skill. We have forgotten the ceremony. And so everybody's thinking about a response before they're really listening. And like, if you're thinking about a response, then you're not listening. You may be hearing, but you're not listening. So we have to learn how to communicate better, particularly with each other, particularly with Spirit, especially with Mother Earth, especially with all other creatures, because not all beings and creatures have a voice, but they all have a language. And so we have to learn to know what that is. We have to learn, and we have to stop what we're doing, and we have to physically take time out of our schedule, and we have to just sit, and we have to listen. We have to communicate. This is about communication. This is about healthy communication. Humanity has no idea how to communicate in a healthy way, because we're constantly talking. We're talking over each other, through each other. So, you know, part of my big practices are to, when I go to ceremony, this is one of those things that I teach. That just sit. People don't like silence. It makes them uncomfortable. Something somewhere has to be happening, whether it's on TV or like on your phone, or the guy sitting across you or the girl sitting across you, they have to be doing something. And we as society have forgotten just to be, and for us to listen, we have to learn just to be, just be still, just be silent, just, you know, be in that place. And you know, I think that's the beginning of what they call active spiritual listening.
Well, when they put people in, you know, sensory deprivation chambers, you know, we have to have this external stimuli. And it's interesting when people are put in completely soundproof rooms, what happens to their mind. And it probably is hard to listen when we're constantly bombarded with everything that's going on. And it's very interesting.
Probably more necessary now. Probably just, you know, listening. Like, it's okay to listen to other things. It's okay to listen to the fog, the little nudge from Bud. From above, I always say, you know, but we can't do it, you know, if we have a handheld device all the time. We can't do it if we have, we are in a world of mass distraction, and we have to overcome that with silence, and with just learning how to be, you know, like, turn off your cell phones, turn off your, you know, turn off all, like, electronic devices, and you know, let's take a walk, you know, and I tell people when they come to me, let's leave your phones in the car and take your shoes off and let's go for a walk. And let's go through a walk in the woods, in nature, by the spring. And that's the way we connect. We feel better. It brings balance back to an unbalanced situation, and we've forgotten how to do that as a species. So,
I like how you use the word mass distraction, because that's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm. Designed to be that way, brother. Designed to be that way. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, it's very difficult, especially this day and age. You got to force yourself to say, okay, you know, how important is it to, you know, connect with God or spirit and just listen? You know, it's just so easy to open up your phone or get on the computer or, you know, that kind of thing. Exactly.
We really have to get back to basics. We really have to connect with all those life forms. You see, when we say life forms, I would say a good high 90% of those people listening right now are only thinking about other things. In reality, what we're talking about is every single living being on the planet. We are connected to a web of life. We are from the smallest to the biggest, and your size doesn't matter in the spirit world. It just doesn't matter. If it is there, the little spider, we are connected to that. That is our relative. And once we get that, once we sit with that, once we understand that, then our lives will never be the same again. I guarantee you that. But if you think of some little stupid spider walking across your lawn, that's far from the truth. It is beautiful, powerful, magnificent, carries wonderful and beautiful and powerful medicine. And that is what we have to focus on. And when we focus in on that connection, then a little piece of us comes back. You see, we live these lives as humanity, not connected to everything, but everything is already connected to us. So we are walking around in a society that is completely out of balance. I get all those things out there, you know, that are going wrong with the world. That comes from a mind that is out of balance. That comes from a mind that is disconnected to source. And what I mean by source, it's called Mother Earth. Mother Earth. We think going to the beach is great. You know, going to a park is great. We really feel connected because that is a place that we can go to and re-energize. There's sentinel beings out there, love us. They're begging for us to have a relationship with them and to connect with them. And you know, by and large, humanity doesn't want to do that. There's almost in a state of refusal.
Well, speaking about the planet and the abuses that we're all guilty of, or most people anyways, in terms of destroying it, surely as population increases, I mean, we're going to kill this planet ultimately, eventually, right? unless the planet decides to kill us first, which I almost think is possible.
Well, back in the 70s, we had hurricanes, and we have a lot shorter hurricane season. I don't have the research in front of me, but I know hurricane season is longer on the front half and longer on the back half. And now they're having these superstorms now, and I just think that's attached to what we are doing to Mother Earth. Climate change, global climate change, it's pretty obvious,
So do the Native Americans, Wayne, do they believe in life after death?
There's definitely another world there. Yes, absolutely.
Energy lives forever, right? So
exactly, love lives forever. It's not crazy. We can't kill it. We're just in it until we're not in it, and then that energy kind of moves on. I know that when it's time for me to move on, and then I'll just simply move on, and that's it. I'm not worried about any kind of heaven or hell or anything like that. I've lived a pretty good life, and it's time for me to go. When my ticket needs to be punched, then I just know where I'm going, and I go there peacefully. That's pretty much it, Hopefully it's years from now, but with highways and byways and sitting in the car, you never really know. You never know when your time is up. So that's why it's so important for me to just stay right here, stay in this moment, stay in this day, stay in this beauty. Let me take in all that beauty. Let me take in the scenery, the sky, the sunrise, the sunset. Some of my best moments in life have just been the little quiet moments where I'm just sitting, watching the sunrise, watching my relative come up, over the ocean, and just connecting to that. Just connecting that beautiful.
And here I am all day watching movies and playing virtual reality video games. I'm like the polar opposite.
That's your choice if you wanna connect or you wanna play video games. That's okay. No one here is judging your path. If you want to do that, then by all means, go ahead and do that.
I think it's okay if we better balance myself. That's just my thought. For what it's worth, I think for you, for you, Jason, it's a place for you to enjoy. And just to bring balance, if it doesn't consume you, it's not that big a deal. you know. I mean, you work hard as it is, and you take care of people, and it's just, you know, it is what it is, and you know, you want to have time. Some people, like me, my favorite pastime is, or my favorite hobby, or I should say one of my favorite hobbies besides photography is bodybuilding. So, you know, everybody has their thing, and it's just you don't get over-consumed about it and having some balance in each of your lives. Enjoy it. It's what is there to enjoy.
Well, at the same time, I do want to connect. I mean, I think, you know, in dealing with things like anxiety and stuff like that, meditating and connect to source or whatever that may be will help physically and mentally as well. You know, being more centered.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, we have all these, you know, these diagnoses now, you know, and, ADHD and all these other, you know, letters and stuff. And, and
have fancy letters,
you know, just names, just letters and, you know, these new diagnoses and you know, my thing is before you diagnose, let's go back to nature. Let's connect to nature. Let's do this. Let's eat healthy. Let's walk healthy. Let's, you know, connect to those healthy medicines first. You know, we're coming up with all these freaking crazy like diseases now. And you know, it pretty much goes back to us not doing the right thing to, you know, begin with, and, you know, honoring Mother Earth, you know, honoring the water, you know, honoring all those beautiful spirits that are out there, all those beautiful spirits, all those beautiful powers. They are part of us, and if we don't acknowledge that, then we forget a huge part of us, and that's the part. That's the part of the web. That's the part of the medicine wheel. The medicine wheel is not only about humanity. The medicine wheel is about everything. You know, bringing everything to the center. And we are. You know, if you're not centered, then you're not bringing everything you need to create that, to honor that, to love that. And it's really tough to have a good life if, you know, we're forgetting all, you know, all those other things, those powers, those medicines that are part of us that we're just not even acknowledging. And so, you know, no wonder that there's a pill for this, and a pill for that, a pill for this, a pill for that. And, you know, they're just, you know, my brothers over at the pharmaceuticals, man, they're, you know, more interested in, you know, making a profit than they are, you know. They create more problems than they solve, but that builds a better quarterly report, you know, financial report. And so let's just get back to nature, get back to those ancient sacred agreements that we've all agreed to, and let's all help each other in the meantime, you know.
I just don't see changing.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Sherry.
I got a question to ask. I noticed in the Sweetgrass the seven braids. The seven braids represent anything with this, why the seven are is encoded to make the Sweetgrass into a braid for ceremony.
Well, you know, the Sweetgrass is, and, you know, great question. The Sweetgrass is considered the hair of Mother Earth. And so usually, traditionally, it's picked by the grandmothers and the mothers and the daughters. And when they make it for ceremonies, you know, ceremonial Sweetgrass, as they're doing it, as they're picking it, as they're honoring it, that is one big prayer. And so all those prayers go into the Brady Sweetgrass. And Brady Sweetgrass is not something that you buy and just kind of let go. It's medicine to keep you grounded, to keep you close to Mother Earth. It has all those qualities. So when you burn it, that's the connection there. That's the smoke that connects all things. And so as we smudge, that's what we do. That's what we use. You know, especially if you want to get close to Mother again. You know. So.
Wow. That's awesome.
Are there other herbs that can be used to kind of provoke healing? And like if I want to venture down the path of utilizing certain herbs, what are some other good ones?
I would use I would start with the three main ones: tobacco, sage, cedar, and sweetgrass. And I would just start with them. You know, I would tell a person that who's interested in learning about the medicine, I would simply say, sit with the medicine. You know, create that connection. Once again, it just goes back to basics. It's just, let's create a relationship. Let's, you and me, let's just sit down together and let's pray together. And people coming from the Western world, I can understand it sounds a little weird, but it's a living thing. We're breathing thing. There's a connection there. There's an obvious, to me, it's very, very obvious, but I've been doing this a long time. I that's what I do. I listen, I connect and just being in that place of being teachable, being in that place of humility, again, not everything has a voice, but not everything speaks. So there's other ways to communicate other than speaking. And so going back to that conversation, we have to listen. We have to sit there. We have to honor. We have to love them, and make that connection, and then all those medicines will come to life. And they will tell you how they can be used, in what way that can help serve you best.
When you do ceremony, you just help guide. You're just the person, you're the channel to help people reach to where they need to go.
Absolutely. I am, great question. We call what I do hollow bones. When I sit in the honor seat, and that's the position in ceremony where we kind of lead ceremony. Just because we lead ceremony doesn't mean I'm the leader. It simply means that I'm allowing, and I'm very honored to be the hollow bones for the spirit. For the people, I am a conduit of the spirit that flows through me. So from the sky through my bones, that's why we call it hollow bones, and then to the people. To where those prayers are needed. As indigenous, we don't say shaman, we don't say we're medicine man, we don't say we're holy man. That's something, those labels are really the Western colonial idea. When I go around town, I say, "Hey, Jim, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm Dr. James so-and-so." I said, "Well, you're not you're not really a doctor. That's what you do, but that's not who you are. You know, just like, I like for me, I'm just Wayne Selger, the human. And I just simply want to be better today than I was yesterday. You know, when we get into the conversation of gurus, masters, holy men, you know, all that ridiculousness, it what happens is it creates a separation between you and me, you know, between you and the guru. And you put them up on a pedestal and you do all this stuff, and then all of a sudden you find out that the guru is now human, because guru made a very human mistake. And so then that person that put them on a pedestal is now crushed. They don't know what to do with themselves. Their faith is questioned. You know, how can my guru, you know, make a mistake? You know, kind of thing. And what I'm simply saying is, just stick with being human. Just stick with being a better human than what you were yesterday. You know, and that's simply what I try to do. That's it. You know, people label me a lot of things, and I don't acknowledge any of them. It's nice to have a label, but it's really not necessary for the spirit. In fact, I'll never put a label in front of me. You know, that's simply not the way I operate. That's simply not standing in the light of humility. So.
We've seen a lot of that in the past with cults and all the Indian gurus and the Rajneesh and all this, you know, where a lot of times it's really about money and power and influence and control.
Sure.
Really is
right.
The opposite of what it should be. So I respect that without having titles, that, you know, not intentionally levitating yourself above others seems very proper to me versus what we see a lot of with gurus
it falls back to manipulation and control, and that's not something that is in my DNA. My DNA says I am to remain humble and to remain teachable, and when I listen to the plants, the birds, the animals, I can only do that because I am in a place of being teachable and practicing some humility. I don't need to go to Harvard to learn how to listen to a flower. I need to listen to the flower to find out what the flower is, how to bloom. You know, I mean spiritually, that's a beautiful lesson. You know, like, how do I bloom? How do I come out of my stuff? Like in every situation, like, how do I grow through this? How do I go through this? Like, how do I do this and not want to die? Like, how do I do this and not want to hurt somebody else? You know, well, just take a minute and listen to how a flower blooms. You know, and it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
If somebody would like to have something to protect or anything like that, do you believe in, you know, carrying sage, or do you believe in carrying a specific stone, whether it's obsidian or jet or tourmaline or something to help carry with you to help you? For protection or anything. Is there any talisman or anything that you guys need in that?
Okay. Like what would I need protection from?
Just protection of this general protection from people and, you know, just any kind of, you know, whether it's bad luck or, you know, protection from people or, you know, just general protection.
Sure. Spiritual medicine usually works best, you know.
What do you mean by spiritual medicine? What do you mean by that?
Spiritual medicine. It's one, pray for them. you know, that absolves you from almost anything that they are doing to you, because you are surrounding them and yourself with love. And if someone is persistent, you know, smudge them. You know, smudge yourself, smudge your home. Let that energy, you know, work itself. There's certain stones, and if you don't want to get down to it, you know, hold that stone. It takes away all that stuff. But you know, here's the thing, this. And you know, people are always looking for shortcuts. You know, that's what humanity does. It's just, you know, let me not do the work, let me find a shortcut thing. You know, it's hard work working with the spirit. It really is. It's hard work when we have a resentment, we have something fear, you know, something fearful. And the best medicine is always prayer. You know, pray for. Pray for the ones that hurt you most. Pray for the, you know, pray to forgive the unforgivable and love the unlovable. That's what we do. And so when we do that on a frequent way, that we are protected. But there's, you know, again, you know, like, I always tell everybody, you know, do that first. You know, there's some other things. If you want to bring me back on, we can talk about that. But, you know, it's just not something that I really talk about. It's something that we really have to sit down and just kind of go over. And, you know, it's lost in translation, you know, over, you know, like over the radio. You know, like it's text messages. That's a great way to miscommunicate. You know, but like everybody does it now. You know,
isn't that, you know, something? But it's only like people. I don't know why, but like people don't bother calling somebody anymore. They rather go and text you because, well, I understand if, you know, they're busy with a meeting or something, or you know, they can do in between. But you know, oftentimes people are too busy or too busy. That's
shortcut.
The truth. There's no such connection anymore. Even if it's, you know, hey, you know, I like to, when I call somebody or something, whether it's on FaceTime, I like to get to the point and get off the phone. I'm not, you know, let's say I haven't heard from you for a while. You know, I can, but texting can be misconstrued more often than not. You know, that's terrible, but it's true.
There's a brilliant way to be misunderstood.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm looking at
the
clock.
Thank you
go ahead. Go ahead, sir. Oh, looking at the
thank
clock.
You. We're talking
like
over
we're
each other tonight. Go ahead.
Well, there's a delay between Sherry and I of about 2 seconds, so that's why. But I'm looking at
okay.
we're out of time. Hey, Wayne, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come on tonight and sharing your wisdom with us. And we'll have to get you back.
Yes,
and
thank you.
How can people find out more about you, your writings or website, anything like that?
I do have a new book out. It's called Daily Medicine. It's come out 3 or 4 months ago. Daily Medicine from Astor Press, from Wayne Williams Snowgrove, can be found at on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and pretty much everywhere else books are sold. And if you just Google my name, I'm on my social media, Facebook at Wayne Williams Snowgrove. So that's probably the easiest way to find me. So follow me and enjoy me. I post messages from the spirit every day. So be honored to share that with you.
Well, I see you have a lot of followers.
Okay.
So your message is getting out there. And again, I want to thank you for coming on. We'll have to get you back on in the future. I know we originally wanted to do 2 hours, so let's get you back on and we can kind of continue. So thank you so much, Wayne.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Wayne.
Congrats.
I know you're
okay.
Too bad you're not feeling good. I mean, we can go on and on and on, and I got a lot of questions, but we'll see you later.
Yeah, we'll
I
have
hope
to
you're
get
feeling
to, yeah,
better.
Thank you. Yes, thank you very much, and thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yes, you're very, very
thank
welcome.
You.
You're excellent. I enjoy your spirit, and you're on TV, if anybody wants to find out about him, just go on his page, and you'll know a little bit about him and what he's been doing and how much he's reaching out to the public and sharing his wisdom everyday people, and I personally, I'm very fortunate to have that personal. It's wonderful.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right.
Take care. All
thanks,
right.
Wayne.
All right. Stick ground zero. Woo. Anyway, Clyde Lewis is going to talk about the coronavirus. He's been researching it for God knows how long, and Clyde Lewis is also a personal friend of mine. I'm going to probably see him if it doesn't get canceled at the Oregon Ghost Conference. And he'll be on next week, and we're going to talk again about the coronavirus. So I'm excited to have Clyde back, and hopefully everybody's going to be well and safe, and just be happy, and I don't know what to say, but just many good wishes for each and every one of you. And just quickly.
Yeah.
We are over at 50,000. We're at 50,000, almost 51,000 people right now following us.
Yeah, very cool. It's, wow, I don't know. When we were at, 4,000 a couple of years ago? I don't even remember.
When I first joined you, and that was back almost 4.5 years ago, being your sidekick here, we were literally at 1,000, just a little over 1,400 followers when I joined you 4.5 years ago. Now we are almost, we hit the 50,000 mark and the 500. We're getting real close to 50,500.
Very cool. Well, people love our little funny memes. That's the key to growth, apparently.
Yes, it is. It's adding some value
works.
To their life. Bring a smile and laugh through their day. Don't take things personally. It's just for entertainment purposes.
Absolutely. With that, well, I've got food in a crock pot. I think I'm going to eat some dinner. I want to thank everybody for listening. We'll see everybody 7 p.m. next Sunday for Clyde Lewis, who's a big deal.
Yeah,
like 300 radio stations.
Station in the U.S. For the last couple of years, number one. So we're going to have him. And it's going to be a good show. So yes, Jason, you got to be on. Clyde Lewis is a big deal. I love it.
Yeah, I will be there. Well, I want to talk about
the
coronavirus because I'm on the front lines. So we'll talk to Clyde
he's
next
been doing
week.
His research,
I hope everybody
and his radio show Ground Zero. He's been talking about him, and Ron Patton's been talking about it too. So it's going to be very informative. We might run a little over than an hour, but the way Clyde talks, which is great, but we're going to learn a lot and get informed. Hey, everybody, take care, love, and peace.
Good night, everyone.